This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. This is the podcast where CEOs of private of companies sponsored by private equity funds and for startups, CEOs of both. Today we've got a special issue that's a little bit off that core concept of who we're for, but we hope you'll enjoy it. We're talking with J.D. Zaza. J.D. Zaza is an expert on college football. And with the college football coming, we thought we'd give people a little of entertainment outside of the core business that we follow every day and talk about what to expect in this college football season. We're going to talk about who has a chance to win the FBS title, NCAA title. What is going on with realignment in college football? What's going on with NILs, the images and likenesses and recruiting and so forth? And I will give you just a heads up, a warning. JD is an avid Crimson Tide Alabama Nick Saban fan. JD, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is JD Zaza. I am currently a student at Alabama, but I am a massive college football fan, and I will try to be as neutral as possible because I have a lot of teams on here, and I wrote down all their strengths and weaknesses. Let's do it. I'm excited.
And JD, give us your top, you know, 5 to 7 picks. Who could win the title and why? Give us a, you know, we're 10, 15 minutes. We're relatively short form for our listeners. Let's start with the top few. Who are the top 5 or 7 that have a chance of winning the title?
All right, let's go with the top two, Alabama and Ohio State. I believe these two are on a different level. I think they're the most complete teams going into the season. But there are also a lot of teams that could make it, like you could see a Baylor in the Big 12, an Oklahoma State, and then maybe even a USC or a Utah.
Take a moment on Ohio State and Alabama. Let's start with Ohio State. Ohio State lost to Michigan. I will tell you, I grew up cheering for anybody that plays the University of Michigan. Will I have to watch again Michigan beat Ohio State and have to listen to Jim Harbaugh be excited about Michigan, or will Ohio State do the job this year and take care of Michigan? What's your sense there?
My sense is Ohio State's going to win the game. One, they do have the game at home, the game at the Horseshoe, which is big. I mean, every team loves to be at home. But also, Ohio State didn't lose much. Yes, they did lose Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave to the draft, but they kept most of the key players. They kept Heisman Trophy favorite C.J. Stroud. And then in the Rose Bowl, we saw the new number one receiver in Jackson Smith and Njigba. And they also have a lot of receivers. So I think Ohio State's going to beat them by like 14. I think they're that good this year.
Did Michigan lose a lot of players to the pros? Did they lose a lot of seniors? Where is Michigan at?
They didn't lose a lot on offense besides Hassan Haskins, who torched Ohio State's defensive line. But mostly it came on the defense. There's a lot of players on that defense left. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson went number 2 to Detroit, but also linebacker David Ajabo and safety Daxon Hill left. So this is going to be a weird year for Michigan. They'll still have a really good offensive line, and they do have Cade McNamara coming back, but the passing game is really going to have to lead that team. And I don't think they can score like Ohio State can.
I remember Haskins running all over Ohio State. Is he going to – did he get drafted? Where's he at in terms of NFL opportunities?
He did. He got drafted by, I believe, Carolina or Baltimore. Actually, it was Baltimore.
Got it.
You don't have to worry about him.
Okay, so last year, Georgia won it all. After Michigan beat Ohio State, Georgia just beat up on Michigan. Georgia beat Alabama after, I think, losing to them twice during the regular year. Where's Georgia this year? Is there a cupboard bear now, or where is Georgia at?
Georgia is in a weird place because they have the talent to go back and repeat, but they also lost the most people out of anyone. They lost pretty much their entire defense besides Jalen Carter, who probably is going to be the best defensive lineman, interior defensive lineman in college football. They lost Jordan Davis. They lost Kobe Dean, who is their leader. They lost two of their safeties. They lost Trayvon Walker going number one. But also, they have a new defensive coordinator coming in. They have Andy Lipp-Gordon. So pretty much I think this year's Stetson Bennett's going to have to lead this team and be way better than he has been. I mean, he was serviceable last year. He got the job done. But that defense did most of the heavy lifting. I believe that Georgia's offense is going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Thank you. And talk to us about Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. You know, this is the first year where Nick Saban was outspoken about this newish, issue of NILs and Texas A&M recruiting a ton of guys promising endorsement money or NIL money. Oregon, I guess, did the same thing. There's a couple other schools that have sort of jumped the cliff in terms of their place in typical recruiting because they were able to find money for players. How much is that going to impact things? And, you know, you heard Nick Saban, express dismay at some of this stuff, a little bit back and forth with Texas A&M guy. But is that just noise, or what's going to happen, and how stacked is Alabama?
Alabama is going to be a very tough team to beat this year, but they do have weaknesses, like a lot of people aren't really looking at. They have a fully new offensive line. They lost Evan Neal, who was their blindside tackle, who is great. And also really have a true number one receiver going into. They have some come in like Jermaine Burton from Georgia and Tyler Harrow from Louisville, but they don't have a certain number one receiver and a reliable one for Bryce Young. And then NIL it came in last year, but this year was really the big one. I mean, more teams like Texas A&M we'll give you a lot of money if you come to our school and play for us. That's why they got the best, one of the best classes of all time. Nick Saban really should not have called out A&M, but what he said, a lot of people actually do agree that NIL needs to have guidelines. It's like the NFL and the salary cap. The Cowboys can't buy everyone. They have a limit on money. They're limited. That's why you don't see super teams in the NFL. And I believe in time, that's what the NIL is going to do. But right now, what Texas A&M and all these schools like USC and Texas, it's legal. So they can do it.
And they also spent, a couple of these schools spent a ton of money on coaches as well. Do you look at this NIL thing? You know, you think of Alabama as the PGA and these other schools as the LIV Tour. And is there a comparison there, or is that an unfair comparison?
I think that's actually a fair comparison. I think Alabama is the PGA. They're the proven one. Let's say Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan,
Clemson, Auburn, places like that, right?
Yeah, like those places would be fine. But teams like a bottom tier, like Texas is trying to rebound. Michigan State, USC is trying to come back to relevance. They can use NIL to get back up and compete for national championships because they haven't really been doing that. So, and they believe it's because of recruiting. So they can bring in bigger talents with money.
And how clear is the talent pool? I mean, by the time people go to pro sports, the agents, the league, the commissioners, the general managers, the coaches have a much better sense of it because they've seen them for a few years in college, at least in the old days they did, now in the NBA. It's 1 year and stuff like that. How clear is it when a guy comes out of high school how he's going to perform at a college level?
It is, and it's just you see the talent, but what college coaches do is develop them because – unlike early Saban Alabama era, college teams didn't really use NFL offenses. There's a reason A.J. McCarron and Greg McElroy did not get drafted first round because they didn't run a pro-style offense. You see it more with nowadays because NFL are going to more college. So So what college is are stepping stones. They're taking rocks and making them into diamonds. Diamonds for the NFL.
100%. No, somebody comes out kind of rough. So even though, you know, Texas A&M, USC, who also recruited a huge money coach, paying these coaches tremendous amounts of money. I think Oregon State spent a ton of money trying to line up NILs for players. You know, and these are basically, for all practical purposes, endorsement deals for college players that are big, big money. So even so they've done all that, there's no certainty that that will turn into success at the college level. But if you stack enough recruits, it's likely to over time do so, but you got to do it a number of years in a row.
That's one of the reasons Alabama doesn't use NIL as much as others. Their recruiting is, look, we can develop you. It's like them in Ohio State. We can develop you. We know we can put you into the first round and make a lot more money than NIL can ever do. So that's mostly their pitch. That's why you don't see teams like Ohio State and Bama use NIL money as much.
But we know they will. If this does turn the tide, so to speak, and it makes these other teams stronger, then sooner or later Ohio State, Alabama will have to play that game. I've got so many questions for you. I'll try and limit it, JD. Next question. Texas and Oklahoma, are they joining the SEC officially like USC and UCLA are joining the Big Ten? Are we going to end up with really two power conferences, or are there still going to be multiple power conferences?
Okay, going for Texas and Oklahoma, they are joining. It's not this year. It's not this year or next year. It's the start of the 2024 season. They joined the SEC. And talked about realignment, especially with USC and UCLA. I do see power conferences be the norm. I could see team conferences like the Big 12 and Pac-12 survive, but I don't think you're going to see them win national championships. I think you're going to see teams like Clemson, Miami, Florida State, and some northern teams like Notre Dame move. Like the SEC has been rumored talking to Clemson and Miami and North Carolina to move. So it's just a matter of time until they move.
Are you going to end up with Notre Dame joining a conference? I mean, this is one of the big issues there as well. I mean, the TV monies are crazy. You know, a Big Ten team, an SEC team might get $70, $80 million a year. If you're not in those conferences, you might be getting $20, $30 million a year. What about Notre Dame? Notre Dame's sort of been in their own island for this with their own TV contracts. Are they ultimately going to join a conference, or are they going to stay out of that?
It depends. I mean, you didn't see a lot of realignment now because everyone's kind of waiting on Notre Dame. But the rumor is they're going to get a CBS TV deal because they just lost the SEC. So if they move to CBS and get their own TV deal, then they don't have to join. They can stay independent. It's just whoever brings them the most money. I mean, that's kind of what Notre Dame's looking for.
I mean, that really seems like at the end of the day, not to call Notre Dame on it, but it seems like the deal with all these schools, that it's really a money-driven type of thing. It just is. It's, I mean, USC, UCLA playing in New Jersey and Rutgers just across the continent, obviously just no good for students for all practical purposes, but there's so much money in it that they choose to join the Big Ten. Who would have thought Hollywood comes to the Midwest? JD, anybody else in the SEC, like if you had to pick one school outside of Alabama or one or two schools outside of Alabama to have a chance in the SEC to compete for a national title this year, who is that school?
There are three teams actually that I could see possibly do it. And those are Texas A&M and surprisingly LSU.
So LSU and Texas A&M. And how much would that drive Nick Saban crazy if it's actually Texas A&M, or he'll be okay?
He would be mad. I mean, Texas A&M has a hard schedule this year. I mean, they have to go on the road against Bama, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. They do have an upgraded quarterback, bringing in Max Johnson. They do have some really nice home games against Ole Miss, LSU, and Miami. And they also have Jimbo Fisher, who's one of the best coaches in college football.
You know, now that you've mentioned quarterbacks, I can't help but ask you about Arch Manning. How big an impact will Arch Manning have? Hype or the real thing?
I have not watched a lot of film on him, but if he is what people say he is, he could change Texas. I don't think Arch is going to start until his junior year, unless Quinn Ewers, the guy who they have right now, who was the number one quarterback coming out of 2020, is a massive bust. And I see Arch Manning wait 2 years, let him develop in Sarkisian's offense, and then take over Texas. And by the time he takes the reins at Texas, like I think he is, he'll be in the SEC. If Texas could get any quarterback to transition them to the SEC, it would be Arch Manning. So Texas is very happy with him committing there.
No, just absolutely fascinating. Well, JD, what a great pleasure speaking to you. I can't wait to get you back on somewhere midway through the season to talk more. Again, thank you for joining the Becker Private Equity Podcast, a special entertainment episode today about college sports, typically for CEOs of private equity funded companies and startups. But magnificent to have JD Zaza with us on the Private Equity Podcast to discuss college football this coming fall. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Hey, I'll come on talk about college football anytime.
Well, we'll look forward to having you back in a little bit, JD. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right, thanks.